numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we do appreciate it. Numbers game presented by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, America's number one nicotine pouch. Find out more at Zyn.com. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Victoria Tomova did take the first set as a plus 198 dog against Ekaterina Alexandrova. She then proceeded to break Alexandrova to start the second set, and then she got broken back. Now, bigger than that, Sasha Zverev, who took the first set from Rafa Nadal. Nadal, as I mentioned, broke Zverev in set number two, and it was big-time excitement there in Paris, and Zverev broke him back when he was serving for the set. So, yeah. We weren't allowed to have good things here with Rafa Nadal.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Drew had a great call on the Beating the Book podcast about this, because I thought like most people, when Nadal got matched with Zverev in the draw, I was like, oh, what a brutal way after 14 French Open titles to have this draw that you're going to get knocked out by Zverev in the very first round. And he was like, is it? He goes, think about it. If he can put together any kind of, you know, any kind of really credible performance, like even if he won a set, let's say,
yeah,
which I don't know if he's going to or not, that would actually be the correct way to go out, as opposed to getting beat by, and I think the player that Drew brought up was Max Purcell, just randomly, right? As opposed to getting, so maybe there is some truth to that.
I think there's that, and also, it's that combined with, like, stretching it out for, a week before you finally lose, when you kind of knew it was going to come at any point. Like, if you're Nadal at his age, like, I'd probably rather either know I'm live after the first round, right? Maybe I actually got a chance at this thing after beating someone like Zverev, or you're done, whatever.
Not a tennis great, a tennis god.
Yeah.
Federer, Djokovic, and Nadal. And man, a lot of people feel like if you only had one match to win at any point, Nadal would actually be the choice of the group. All right, Kelly, what do I spend most of my sports betting day doing? Tracking the Cleveland Guardians in May.
Updating Guardian stats.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may recall that in March and April, we had the Cleveland Guardians at 65-1, and that came one out away from winning a big-time bet at 65-1. Just in dramatic fashion, one of the sickest bad beats ever. Well, it went back to the well in May at 16-1, also driven by the schedule, and if we go to my path first, this is, like I did in March, April, I was like, okay, here's what they ought to be able to do series by series, and then there's the actual what they end up doing. Now, in March and April, it tracked almost perfect to the end, and we knew that it was going to get more difficult at the end, easier to more difficult. In May, it was going to be the opposite. It was going to be more difficult to easy. The problem is that the fourth series in May, I had them, going into Chicago to play the White Sox, worst team in baseball. I had them going 3-1 in my projection. And you know what they did? They went 1-3. Do you understand that the White Sox have only won 15 games all year? So 20% of all of their wins, the White Sox, came in that series against the Guardians earlier this month. And so
brutal.
Brutal.
That part is brutal. Now that we're here.
we're getting to here. So the Guardians were 5-6. They lost the first three games of that series to the White Sox. They were 5-6. So now, they're going to finish with a flourish projection. I had them finishing the month 11-2, the Guardians. So even at 5-6, and there were some games in between the 5-6 and what I projected as 11-2 down the stretch, even then, like, I didn't talk to anybody about it, but if somebody was like 11-2, they'd probably have been like, really, Gil, they're going to go 11-2? Okay, you know what the Guardians might be able to do after that 5-6 down the stretch? They might go 16-1. So the Guardians have won 9 straight baseball games, and they've won 12 out of their last 13. And so they've made up for that White Sox series, and they swept the Twins. They swept the Mets. They swept the Angels. Now they got 3 at Coors and 1 home against Washington to wrap it up. And so you ask, where are they? Get to it. The Phillies are still in first place at 18-5, Kelly. The Phillies are 18.
But they finally lost a game or two.
Finally lost. That was the thing. It's like, okay, listen, the Guardians are the only team that are allowed not to lose. So here's the deal. unlike the scrum in March and April, where there was tons of teams still alive heading into April 30th, there's only four teams that can win this now. It's very simple. These teams have been so good in May that they've left 26 other teams in the dust. The Phillies are 18-5 with four games left. The Yankees are 18-6 with four games left. The Guardians are 17-7 with four games left. And the Royals are 16-7 with five games left. Now, the tiebreaker at Circa, where I made the bet, is fewest losses followed by run differential. Well, the Guardians are bad in both of those tiebreakers. They've got seven losses. The Yankees have six. The Phillies have five. And the Phillies and Yankees run differential, if we went to the second tiebreaker, Phillies are plus 67. Yankees are plus 53. The Guardians are all the way down at plus 28. But the Guardians, unlike in March and April, have gotten the best of the one-run games. They're 7-1 in one-run games. Class A, my man, 7-1 in the month of May. So here's the
deal. That's incredible. Oh, they like what a heater they're on in those 7-1 in one-run games.
Their bullpen is so solid, dude. And bullpens are the, you know, again, people are like, oh, the Guardians overperform. We always think about the lineup as, oh, they're outperforming, they're hitting. They don't strike out. They're actually better than you think they are. Their starting pitching is probably the weakness, honestly. But the bullpen has been solid. So anyway, here's the deal. What has to happen? We usually put up the scenarios with three games left because when there's four games left, it's still a little too complicated. But I'll put it this way. The Guardians essentially have to pass the Phillies and the Yankees because they lose both of those tiebreakers at Circa. Now, at William Hill Caesars, which is the only other shop that had this bet, there's only dead heat rules. So you're just trying to tie for the most wins. So you don't have the same problem that I do at Circa. This also was the case last month. And it caused, actually, at the end, a better circumstance for the Circa folks than it did for the dead heat folks. But anyway, for the purposes of the last four and five games in the case of the Royals, here's what would have to happen. The scenario that would have to happen for the Guardians to win is the Guardians, let's just make it easy. The Guardians win out. And if you're like, really, you got them projecting four wins down the stretch? Well, they've already won nine in a row. By the way, I bet them every day, Kelly. First five in full game. They are a cash cow.
That's the fun, not the funny part to me, but like you've said that since day one. You are backing them every single day.
It's phenomenal. So let's say the Guardians go 4-0,
which is great because you're probably, have you covered this bet by now?
Oh my god, yeah. I covered it exponentially. Same thing last month. But here's the deal: you obviously want the big prize at the end. So let's say if the Guardians go 4-0. By the way, the Guardians could be eliminated by tomorrow night also. It's Coors. If they go 4-0 and the Yankees and Phillies both go 2-2, because remember, they got to pass them, and the Royals go even 4-1, the Guardians will be your May winner. Now, who do they play? Guardians are at Coors, at the Rockies for three, and then home against Washington for the final game. Remember, this was always part of the handicap, was the easy schedule. The Phillies have, and here's why I don't think the Phillies are the favorite, even though they're in first place. The Phillies are three where? At San Francisco, where they have to try to fight Giants magic. And oh, by the way, the San Francisco Giants last week of baseball is one of the most cardiac, unbelievably awesome weeks of baseball you will ever witness in your life.
So you're saying Giants magic is
Giants
is
magic
alive and
has
well.
Never been more alive and well. They won three games in a row down four runs late. It was just incredible. So the Phillies have to go three at San Francisco here in the next three games. Who do they close with? I forget now who they close with. But the Yankees, by the way, have the easiest route. The Yankees, who are a half game behind the Phillies, would have the same amount of wins, one game ahead of the Guardians in the win column. The Yankees get three at the Angels, and then they have to go to San Francisco for the fourth and final one. So the San Francisco
Giants. You're a big
Giants
fan this week,
the
too.
The Giants, my team, have as much to do with this outcome as the teams themselves that are involved in this. And by the way, I'm going to San Francisco Friday. And if it comes down to the Guardians need a Yankees loss at San Francisco Friday night, I am so there.
That'll be awesome.
Phillies close after San Francisco with who?
I was looking up Royals, of course. They got the Royals have the Twins this week.
Yes,
so what, the Royals, a four-game set with the Twins.
And the Royals are a huge dog today to the Twins, by the way. Royals had a massive win streak themselves. Problem with the Royals is that even if it's just tough because they're a couple games behind in the win column.
So Phillies, the Giants, and then Cardinals for two.
Phillies have
or Cardinals for one. I'm sorry, Cardinals for one.
They close. They close against the Cardinals for one. So okay, and then in terms of when these games are being played, Phillies, Guardians, Royals play today. Yankees are idle today, and then obviously they play Tuesday, Wednesday. So Phillies, Guardians, Royals, their idle day is Thursday, whereas the Yankees' idle day is today in terms of the stacking of this. But here we are, the last week of this May bet. We're at 5-6, and the Guardians, when they lost 3 out of 4 to the White Sox, especially when they lost those first three, when they were 5-6, you're like, well, this wasn't the start we wanted.
I mean, like truth serum, Gil. I mean, Tuesday, if you would ask me Tuesday or Wednesday last week if we were still going to be talking about this this week, I would have said, nah, I don't think so. I doubt it. I mean, when you sent me this stuff last night, I was like, this is awesome.
This is awesome. The reason we made the bet, though.
You right? Also realize this is like, let's, you know, we like to pull the curtain back for the audience. As a bettor, I would never say this to you. As your producer, I have to say you're kind of obligated to the show now to make one for June and keep this running. Doesn't have to necessarily be the Guardians.
I swear to God, I'm not doing it in June. I know I said the same thing, but then I looked, I peeked at the Guardians schedule, and man, I'm like, oh no, I got to bet them again.
I don't even think it has to be the Guardians. I don't even think it has to be the Guardians.
No, I understand that. I don't know if I want to live another 30 days of this.
I wouldn't. Like I texted you last night, it's got to be a bit of a tease feeling at this point now, too.
Yes, it's half tease, half this could happen.
Right.
Yeah. Come on. What am I doing today? Watching the Guardians, of course. Check out our website, VSiN.com. We'll get into that later. Mike Somich will join us with all our picks coming up. Oh, and the NBA, the Mavs and the Celtics, that price next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Check out that new website, VSiN.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. If I look at the front page of our website right now, I see Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson from Adam Burke. Adam Burke also all over NFL survivor pools. Michael Lombardi on the NFL interim coach dilemma. I didn't know there was an interim coach dilemma, but he's going to write all about that. And a whole bunch of tennis, by the way, from Zach Cohen. Zach Cohen is all over the French Open. He has a play in this Nadal-Zverev match, which this tiebreaker will go a long way in deciding. I think he has the over in games in this match. Zachary Cohen does. Yeah, he has over 33.5 games. Zverev won the first set 6-3. We are in a second set tiebreaker where it is 3-3 in the middle of that tiebreaker. So Zachary Cohen heavily rooting for Nadal. All of that at vsin.com. He's got more tennis plays there as well. And thank you to Zach for having me part of the French Open primer as well.
Oh, Zach killing it, man. All his NBA and tennis stuff going on. He's got a lot going right now.
He's got a lot going on. Let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. It is Memorial Day. Tim Lawson was so kind to provide that note about Elmer Gedeon, the former Major League player, and just a little baseball history on this Memorial Day of a player who played 5 games before he perished in World War II. And just a story about how 500 Major Leaguers had served. He was only one of 2 that had died in World War II. Memorial Day is a holiday, Kelly. Are you invited to a barbecue today?
Yeah, it was. I totally forgot about
How do we feel about barbecues?
We were joking at the end of last week that we work these holidays so much, we don't really think about doing anything on them because we're working. And I had a friend, obviously I was under the weather for a lot of the weekend, but I had a friend text me, he's like, hey, you want to come to a barbecue tomorrow? I'm like, on a Monday? Like, isn't tomorrow Monday? I'm like, oh yeah, Memorial Day.
Was it you who expressed that you thought barbecues were sort of a strange way to quote unquote celebrate Memorial Day?
Memorial Day is it's a tough day regardless. Everybody should enjoy a day off, but it is supposed to be a day where we remember these amazing people that made these sacrifices for us. It's tough. But yeah.
Though I'm thinking about my tribe, and we joke that every Jewish holiday is they tried to kill us. We survived. Now we eat.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why I put on that voice, but that's kind of the thing.
Oh, man. I've been trying to look this up because that talked about the writing about the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson reportedly suffered a medical emergency while boarding a plane last night.
Oh, no.
It appears, seeing this from the Mirror in UK.
Oh, yeah. I'm seeing that now, too. Medical emergency on a plane to L.A. yesterday.
This is, like, just coming down, though, I think. So, stand by on more information on that. It's a little scary.
Paramedics boarded. Yeah, they actually had an announcement on the plane asking for a doctor. The message even came on everyone's screens. I didn't even know they could do that. And then paramedics boarded. The plane was delayed 2 hours prior to that. And then Mike was in the Admiral's Club. He was escorted to the gate at the original boarding time, but then escorted away when the delay happened. And he eventually got on the plane, Mike did, during this original delay, about an hour and 20 minutes after the first time that he got on the plane. So he boarded, got off, boarded again. And I don't know. That second time, he needed paramedics.
Yeah, that's a little
scary.
So,
breaking
story.
Yeah, developing story, as they say. We'll see. Hopefully he's okay.
I just kind of randomly Googled that, too, because we keep teasing that fight. And I'm always like, oh, is it like this weekend, next week? No, it's still in July.
July. Buried right in the middle of the Olympics, or before the Olympics, I believe. Sasha Zverev off a mini break now and second set tiebreaker. We're not allowed to have good things.
Yeah.
All right, we referenced this earlier.
That would have been fun this morning.
Yeah. We referenced this earlier. NBA Finals now with the Mavericks and Celtics both up 3-0 in their respective conference finals. And that 154 such occasions where a team in the history of the NBA went up 3-0 in a best of seven, the teams trying to advance are 0-154. And only four times have they actually forced a game seven. One of them last year with the Celtics in the Heat, and then the Heat resoundingly crushed them. So, fait accompli that it is going to be the Celtics and Mavericks based on that history. If it is, the Celtics are currently, these are current numbers, right? Celtics are minus 230, and the Mavericks are plus 190.
Yep.
Isn't that an odd? No, I say this as someone who's like.
When we talked about this last week.
Yes.
Just to put this in perspective a bit. Celtics were minus 280.
Yes.
Matchup. Mavericks plus 230. So there's been enough. Mavericks have been convincing enough to drive this price down.
I still think it's a great price on the Mavericks at plus 190. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, they still have the best two players, don't they?
I think so. I'm with you on that.
Even if Porzingis shows up and it's Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and by the way, Jaylen Brown and Stephen A. in a bit of a dispute now as well. Even if Porzingis shows up, it's still Luka, Kyrie, 1-2, and I'll still take that at plus 190.
Before we get tweets from all the Tatum defenders, although it doesn't really feel like there's that many of them.
No,
I might not say that on any night, but given it's the NBA Finals and what Kyrie Irving does to close games and the type of player he is, yes, I will take those two before I'll take anybody on the Boston Celtics. Luka Doncic being the other person, of course.
Luka and Kyrie are already Hall of Famers. One would assume Jason Tatum, if he continues this pace, would be.
This matchup's fascinating, though, Gil, because this is, I mean, all these NBA series, how many of them defined by injuries, like you've brought up so many times, and it's so true. Like, this is, okay, I'm going to, like, Maxi Kleba, the Mavericks could really use him back in this series. If Derek Lively, for whatever reason, I mean, that was a little weird reporting last night. Like, there is NBA concussion protocol. Everybody assumed he'd be put into concussion protocol.
Yeah.
Went to the hospital, but, like, to get checked out for his neck, a neck strain is what they were ruling it as. I don't really know what's going on. I would actually think if you're looking ahead to this far down, you'd prefer him to actually have a concussion, right? Then, if you're betting on this, you know, nobody wants him to have a concussion. But you prefer that over a neck issue, right? Where a neck issue could theoretically be a longer lasting thing. But they need him, because if they're going to continue this dominance with the lob game in the pick and roll action, Derek Lively has been absolutely incredible, and it's still not being talked about enough, in my opinion. He's the best big on the team. Gafford's been great, but he's the best big on the team for what he can do on the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side with the athleticism. It's just the difference between those two, really. All that stuff, it's Porzingis. You're like, well, that's cool, but like, if Derek Lively's there and they don't have Porzingis, oh, man, like this is a tough ask for Boston on the back end.
I just want to revisit, because people may not have been here for the first segment. I just want to revisit, again, with the three nothings. In Indiana's case, we don't know about Tyrese Halliburton. And even if he came, let's just say in a world where he came back and he played and they won game four, games five and seven are still in Boston. But in the case of the T-Wolves and the Mavericks, if the T-Wolves could figure out a way to steal game four, games five and seven are in Minnesota. So in just some strange way, the Mavericks...
I'm not counting my money yet, Gil.
Yeah, the Mavericks would only have this one-off in game six where all the pressure would be on them. I know Minnesota's hardly reliable. I get it, but just play along, right? It's a different scenario than Indiana and Boston. And so I'm just saying, we looked at the prices earlier on these series. You know, Indiana, if it's even posted, and some book is not even posted, but if it's even posted, they're 90-1. And I'm seeing with the T-Wolves as low as 10-1 on something that's 0-154. It's ridiculous. You got to make that a better price.
You do, but like I don't know. At the same time,
but it's reflective of what I'm talking
about. Right, right. It's reflective of what you're talking about right now. So I don't. That is, it is interesting. And I think I would be not as serious about this, Gil. But it's the better truth theorem, right? Like you always bring up. Game two and game three felt like massive wins to me. Massive for my tickets.
Of course.
Because the situation you keep playing out, if this gets extended, who knows?
As a Mavericks, I was going to say ticket holder, but it sounds like you're going to their games. As a Mavericks betting ticket holder, were you more worried about the T-Wolves than you are about the Celtics?
I think it's easy to say no now, but heading into the series, I bought off my ticket. And look, this is – I will still show some respect to the Celtics for what they can do. It's a different type of defensive animal that you're going up with the Celtics and a completely different offense, right? For as much as you and I have talked about the Minnesota defensive issues this show – Karl Anthony Towns has been a no-show, right? Anthony Edwards, a couple clunky games. Like, they can't get anything going offensively. The Celtics will likely not have those type of issues, right? So that's the big difference. While at the same time, they'll be able to put some incredible perimeter defenders out there, just like Minnesota will or has been able to. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I said it before the series. What? I'll stick by it. Like, we were wrong. I thought that it would be Denver, Minnesota. That's how good those teams play.
Are you touching any of the game fours? 3-0s are so difficult.
They are difficult. I think a couple I'm going to look at later. I'm interested to see how much further down this line comes with Boston. We could circle back to this, too. But Boston, only 7-point favorite. Like, Indiana's taking money.
Boston favored by 7. Mavs favored by 2.
I might lay that. I don't know. We'll circle back to that in the show.
Game four tonight. Good news, bad news. Tomova serving for the match in our bet, but does Zverev up 2-0. Samobomb next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
And Tomova serving for the match gets broken. For a limited time only, we're slashing the price of our annual subscription, normally $240. You can now secure your subscription for just $199. Sign up today, and we'll throw in an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of Visa Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code ANG. But hurry, the special offer is only available until May 31st. That is Friday. With Visa Pro, you'll get immediate access to our daily best bets, complete with a leaderboard showcasing the hottest Visa experts, betting splits that reveal where the money and bets are trending for every game, exclusive betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video content. Remember, the offer expires May 31st. That's this Friday. So visit VSiN.com/subscribe now to grab your 14 months of VSiN Pro for just $199 with promo code ANG.
Promo code ANG like a numbers game. Get it now. 4 more days.
That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, we get tweets on this Memorial Day. Always appreciate the feedback. Also got a lot of tweets from Bren and Brandy with an I and that kind of thing, Kelly. Big fans of ours.
Come on, dude.
Big fans of ours. Bruce Dobigan.
I got a Grace on here. Yep.
Nothing to say. But as a Canadian, today is not a holiday, so I'm watching. You sounded lonely. However, I remember hosting radio on Christmas Eve. Only Cappy's called. Courage. With the Dan Rather exit. Courage on his tweet. I love that. Spence. Listening from a Madagascar bazaar, and the onions are 37 cents a pound. Thank you very much for that as well. I appreciate it. Jamie Samuel. So I was walking through New York preparing to watch the French Open, listening to your show, and I walked right by this. I know it's a favorite for you in Vegas. Cheers. He walked by Carbone there in New York City.
Oh, wow, okay.
Nice little shot of the awning there. And Corbin, morning, guys. Absolutely PO'd that I lost my headphones today before work. Can't listen to ANG this morning. But please, someone bring up the hundreds of Wolves fans groaning as the four-time Defensive Player of the Year Gobert switches on to Doncic. I think everyone knew what was going to happen. Yeah, man. Mike Rouse, should we expect Gil to go full Wishnev at the Giants-Yankees game on Friday? Oh, I will totally go full Wishnev if that counts. Teasers and parlays, are we sure Gil will be giving back the tribe to Adam Burke after May, rooting for that to get home? I got to give him back the tribe.
Yeah, John, I don't know. He said the same thing after April.
I know. I lied. and then a somber note here. This is from Jesse Welch, yeah, but it needs to be said. RIP Grayson Murray. Feel like this is the proper forum for that to be said. Yeah, Grayson Murray, who at the age of 30, he pulled out of the second round of the golf tournament this weekend, a couple holes shy of concluding the second round, feeling ill. And we learned that he had passed away the next day, the parents confirming that it was a suicide. And Grayson Murray, dead at the age of 30. And it, so it really did cast a pall on the rest of that tournament. Which was, I don't even know, was Scottie Scheffler did not get there. It was ultimately won by Davis Riley, who won by 5 strokes. Scheffler was, Scheffler and Keegan Bradley were 5 strokes back, but it really, you know, to talk about the actual result of the golf tournament seems kind of unimportant.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, first individual win for Davis Riley was a big win for him, but yeah, Grayson Murray stuff's just crazy. It's so tough. We try to talk about. I like that the mental illness is becoming more of a conversation. It's something that needs to happen. But and this is a guy who was very public with his some of the struggles that he had from that standpoint, battle with alcohol and stuff like that. It's just so tough when you know people that are suffering through some of that stuff aren't willing to come out and talk about it. So to have the courage to come out and talk about it. And then see something like this happen. It's just horrible. It's tragic. And props to all the golfers out there, man. Like you could tell for everything we've talked about in golf for all the past couple years of this divide with Liv and you don't know how these guys feel about each other. To see that how that had rattled so many of those guys. And really, you get like the PGA Tour is still a family, and those guys are traveling and seeing each other week in and week out.
Peter Malinotti. Amanda Baleonis was doing an interview with him, and he just broke down.
And he's right. I mean, he's kind of the same type of player. Like, this is such a grind, and we never think about what these guys are dealing with in their own lives because we just think about the competitiveness of the tour and what they're trying to go through and everything there. And we don't factor in everything else that's going on in their lives.
30 years old, it goes without saying, is just tragic. Mike Somich, no way to artfully segue to this, but Mike Somich joins us to talk about some bets. Mike, of course, the co-host of The Handle here weekends at the network with Matt Brown at Somobomb18 on the Twitter machine. How you doing, Michael? How's it going, man?
Doing good. Doing good on this Memorial Day, Gil. Looking forward to doing this and then headed to the beach for the day, so I can't complain.
Oh, where in Santa Barbara are you? Yes, the beach?
We're gonna go up in Goleta with one of my daughter's friends.
Oh, man. Good life. Good life. Weather in Cali is cooperating, I'm sure.
It's sunny and 70, just like every other day.
And, oh, man. Okay, Kelly and I, we finished the last segment by talking about these, how difficult it is when it's 3-0 in a series, in both of these series, 3-0 just generally in any of these best-of-seven series, to really sink your teeth into a game four line. Celtics are favored by 7 tonight in game 4, trying to close out the Pacers in Indiana. Total's 222.5. And the Mavericks are 2-point favorites against the T-Wolves in game 4 tomorrow night back in Dallas. Do you have a play on either?
Not right now. I mean, it's tough to play these game 4s when you have these 3-0 leads because motivation becomes a factor for both sides. It's funny to say that because you'd assume both sides, you know, one wants to sweep, the other wants to make sure they get a game, would be motivated. But we've seen in the past in game 4s that it's generally one side or the other that comes out and is motivated to be able to win the game. The Celtics, we have seen them sleepwalk through multiple games in the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't really want to jump in and back them laying the 7.5. If anything, I'm looking at some player props here. I think Derek White has the possibility to have a big game, especially if we don't see as many minutes from the stars, Brown and Tatum there on the Celtics side. He's sitting at 15.5. So if I play anything here, I'm taking 15.5 or possibly the under here, sitting at 222.5. In the second game, look, I like Dallas. I bet Dallas before in the series started in the series. I've got a future ticket on them. But I'm going to wait, and I'm going to see what the score is after three quarters. If I get a situation where I can get Dallas in at a cheap money line heading into the fourth quarter, let's say it's tied, let's say Dallas is up one, down one, somewhere in that range, and I'm sitting there and I'm looking at minus 110 to minus 130, I just trust this Dallas team so much more in the clutch. And if we're tied at that point, I assume we're getting equal motivation from both sides, and Dallas able to pull it out in the end, just like they have been the last three games here. It's the difference in the series. Dallas is a clutch team, and you've got Minnesota who struggles scoring in the clutch at times, and that's really reared its head all three games.
We alluded to it earlier. It is the single biggest thing. It's there is nothing that we have seen that would in any way dent your perception that in crunch time, Luka and Kyrie are going to figure it out, right? Like, it's just, this is what we've seen. It's so they make the right decisions every time down court. They defer. When they're supposed to, they play the defense they're given. So I couldn't agree more. What about the hypothetical series price between the Celtics and the Mavericks? The Celtics were minus 280 last week. They're still minus 230. The Mavericks are plus 190 on the comeback. Does that interest you?
It's interesting to watch how this has moved, because it actually opened minus 300 plus 270 as Boston, the minus 300 favorite over Dallas when both these series started. And we've just seen it kind of plummet consistently. It's funny that it's 3-0 on both series, and yet we're not staying anywhere near that number. People respecting Dallas more. And I think people are watching this Boston team kind of sleepwalk through Indiana and saying, well, are we really sure they're going to be able to turn it up in the finals? If you don't have a Mavericks ticket by this point, I would recommend getting one sooner rather than later. I don't think this stops moving. I think that when we end up getting this matchup, let's say both of them sweep, I think we might end up seeing Celtics minus 200 by the time this tips off. So if you like the Mavericks, the time to bet them was at the start of the series. But if you haven't gotten them in and you are planning on betting them, I would bet them sooner rather than later, because I think there's a consistent amount of Dallas money coming in just because of the narrative that's formed around the Celtics at this point.
The three of us before on the break were talking about how last year the Mavericks, we forget about these things because we're so wrapped up and we're a hamster on a wheel with all these sports, but the Mavericks openly tanked with Luka and Kyrie down the stretch last year because if they fell out of the lottery, they lost their pick. So they got in the lottery, they got the 10th pick, and they end up picking Lively.
Just massive.
Generally speaking, Mike, are you a pro tanker?
Yeah, of course. Look, if you're in a situation where it can better your franchise, what are we doing? Isn't that the whole point?
I agree.
To better your franchise? So go ahead and tank if you think it's going to do it. Like, I don't understand why people get so upset about teams tanking when, you know, if like I'm a St. Louis Blues fan, when I know we're not going to make the playoffs, I hope we stink. I hope we are the worst team in the NHL, because then we get the first pick. It baffles my mind that teams don't want to tank, or fans don't want to tank once their team is not going to be able to make a run.
Yeah, it's funny looking back at that Mavericks situation now, because I was someone in the moment. And I don't think my opinion really changes on this, because it's the whole Luka Kyrie thing this playoffs, right? If you have those two guys, you're always going to have a chance. So that still holds true from last year. But man, where would this team be without Derek Lively now? Where would they be without him in the future? This guy could be a big time player for them for years to come.
And I just have to say, when Veasan first started, and I talked about Tankathon 2018 and the race for DeAndre Ayton, how much incoming I took from people, they're not tanking. I was like, it's not the players, it's management. They're doing it. And people are super warm to it, right? But back then, what's that, 6 years ago? People were like, what are you talking about? No, not only is it a thing, it ought to be a thing for everyone in certain situations. Mm-hmm. We'll come back. Mike has hockey thoughts for tonight, perhaps beyond, as hockey may take center stage here for the greater part of a week. That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're so close to crowning an NBA champ. Again, after the delay to the NBA Finals. And with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings, listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, and you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Billen. I got good news and I got bad news. The good news is Victoria Tomova comes through for us in straights. She wins the second set tiebreaker. She was plus 198. So that in one fell swoop takes away some of the pain of yesterday and this morning. So we are back to sort of even level now here in the early going of the French Open. And we still have did the Thiago Monteiro match begin? It did not yet, but it will in about 25 minutes. That's the last bet that we have today in the French Open. Thiago Monteiro on the men's side, which you're only getting a few pennies worse than I got last night. All hosts, all guest picks, every sport, VSiN.com/picks for survivors. I'm pumped about that, Kelly. Tomova, plus 198 over Alexandrova. Okay. Mike Somich, kind enough to join us for a second segment. You can follow him on Twitter at SomoBomb18, where you know what he does. He drops SomoBombs. There we go.
Who's on it?
You guys are great.
They are on it.
Thanks to everybody, by the way, for showing up on Memorial Day, by the way.
Chris, Matt, and Larry.
Larry's been so on it today, I'm Ron Burgundy-ing through things that are on the screen.
That was my favorite segment in a while.
Watch what you put on the screen, Larry. I might just blurt it out.
I ask them to lead you along with graphics sometimes. You just end up the next live read, and Gil goes to start reading it in the middle of a segment.
Ron, I have no choice. I have to fire you. What are you talking about? All right. Mike, hockey is in full swing in these playoffs now. We were going through, like, remember how the Western Conference playoffs in the NBA was supposed to be so great? And, like, yeah. if you go through, like, the series, the bracket, then the series outcomes, it's horrible.
It's bad. I don't know about you guys, but maybe this is just the NBA fan in me, but I keep saying this, right, every time, Gil? Yeah, but next round? Like, it's going to be good.
These are all the series outcomes in the Western Conference playoffs, which was supposed to be the greatest conference playoffs ever. 4-0, 4-0, 4-1, 4-2. That's the first round. 4-2, 4-3, 3-0. So at least they've got a 4-2, 4-3.
What are best series so far? I was thinking about this yesterday. Denver, Minnesota,
by
far. And then two Knicks series? Knicks Sixers and Knicks Pacers?
Yeah, but that was so hyped up beyond.
And we're talking about all these teams that are not going to be here anymore.
Yeah. I still think Nuggets T-Wolves the headline of the whole playoffs so far. And all the Somich-induced injuries in the Eastern Conference, where now I owe you dinner, Mike Somich. Where do you want to go?
Well, I'm looking forward to going to the sushi spot with you, Gil. And to be honest, like, the other bummer about the NBA playoffs, we talk about that Timberwolves Nuggets series. There were like six blowouts in that series. Yes. We didn't get any good games. It's not even like in the 4-3 series, you have these moments where it's like, oh, we got a big game winner here, big game winner there. I mean, you look back and you think of Jamal Murray's two game winners. Those might have been the only two really late shots before Luka Doncic hit that three to go up 2-0. Like, we haven't had exciting games in the exciting series.
Remember that moment when Jamal was hitting those and we had to have the conversation of Jamal Murray has this unbelievably interesting NBA career where he's never been to an all-star game, but yet he is a champion who has made a myriad of game winners and just amazing performance in the playoffs. It's unlike any other player. Now it's like it feels like it was 3 months ago when he said that.
Yeah.
All right, let's get
to pretty wild.
Yeah. Let's get to hockey. Let's start with tomorrow night first before we get to tonight. Tomorrow night's Rangers-Panthers. It's game four back in Florida. Rangers are up 2-1. Most people didn't necessarily think that was going to be the case. Panthers are minus 168. They're big favorites in game four to knot up the series. Rangers are plus 145 on the comeback. And when you go to the series price, the Panthers down 2-1 are a pretty juicy plus 130. How do you play this?
Well, I played it yesterday when it was plus 145. This opened at minus 165 Rangers, plus 145 Panthers. I would still play the Panthers at plus 130. Unlike the NBA games, the NHL games have all been very close in these series. Just phenomenal hockey games. Yesterday, if you missed yesterday's Rangers-Panthers game, you missed a classic. And it was a situation where Shesterkin, the goalie for the Rangers, absolutely stole the game. Headed into overtime, the attempted shots were 92-35 for Florida. They'd almost tripled them up in attempted shots. They controlled the entire pace of the play, but timely goals, bounces, that's what matters a lot of times in these playoffs, as well as big saves. And Florida's been the better team in all three games, yet they are down 2-1 in the series. It's ironic because Carolina was the better team in the first three games against the Rangers, and yet they were down 3-0. I expect Florida is going to continue to add this pressure that they've had on the Rangers all series. And at some point, you have to think you're going to be able to beat Shesterkin a couple times, as well as not just get these fortunate goals that you are getting from the Rangers right now. I mean, you saw a couple phenomenal plays by the Rangers youngsters there to get breakaways and be able to cash those in against Bobrovsky. They get two goals in 25 seconds in the first period after the Panthers go up 1-0. I just don't believe that these breaks are going to continually happen for the Rangers here. I think the Panthers are the side to be on. You can get them, like I said, plus 130 in the series. I would still take the plus 130 number. I think a fair is closer to plus 115. I expect them to win game four, and then we make this a three-game set. And they've dominated, like I said, every single game in this series. They have the better offense. They clearly have New York's number from a forechecking perspective. The pressure that they're able to create on the Rangers in their own zone has just been relentless. And the Rangers haven't been able to handle it very well and get the puck out of their zone. And if you spend that much time in your own zone, if you're facing that many shots, that big of a discrepancy every single game, eventually the floodgates will break. So I have to think the Panthers can be able to win this series and win game four.
I feel like I have a couple hockey bets I'm about to make. I feel like the Panthers plus 130 in this series, and I feel like that Draisaitl bet plus 165 to win Conn Smythe. I know you're a big Stars guy, but let me ask you about tonight's game. Edmonton up, 1-1 in the Western Conference Finals, game three tonight. Edmonton took game one in double overtime against Dallas in game one. Stars even it up in game two. We're in Edmonton now, where the Oilers are a minus 125 favorite, a slight favorite in game three. The series is a coin flip. How do you feel about this?
I bet Dallas pre-flop, bet them minus 125. I bet Dallas plus 165 after they lost game one. If you go back and you look at the game one numbers, if you look at the simulations from multiple sites, Dallas had a 52 to 55 win percentage over 10,000 simulations in game one. They won expected goals in game one, yet they lost the game. You watch game two, Edmonton outplayed them in the first period, but after that, the ice was tilted toward Dallas. They played phenomenal in the second and third period, and Dallas is the best road team in the NHL this year. If you rewind back just one series, Colorado was the best home team in the NHL. Dallas went 3-0 in Colorado in that series. I still believe Dallas is the better of these two teams, and they found their game in the second and the third period in game two. If they're able to bring that same game to Edmonton, I think the Oilers are going to be hard-pressed to win. I like Dallas today. I played them the plus 110 number in the game. I'm looking for a in-regulation number as well, trying to get plus 160, plus 170 on Dallas in 60 minutes. And if you don't have a Dallas series bet, I still like it. And even more so, right now you can get Ottinger for Conn Smythe winner. I've talked about this for, I don't know, two straight weeks on this network now. Yeah. He's still sitting right around 5-1. If they get through this series, it's going to be built around Ottinger and that defense. You're not seeing Dallas be able to fill the net up with goals. That all plays toward Ottinger if the Stars win the Cup, being the Conn Smythe winner. Right now, you're getting somewhere in that plus 260 range on them to win the Cup, but you're getting double that on Ottinger to win Conn Smythe. So if you like this Stars team, to me, Ottinger for Conn Smythe's a good bet.
I know you're a horse racing guy first, Mike. Where does hockey rank on your favorite sports to handicap?
Well, hockey is I would say the 1B to horse racing's 1A.
Really?
For me, from a fandom perspective. I really am a fan of one team. That's the St. Louis Blues. I root for other teams, but man, I am a diehard St. Louis Blues fan because of when I lived in St. Louis and the fact I played hockey in high school. So I love watching the NHL playoffs. I've been just locked in to both of these conference series. Can't wait for the Stanley Cup Finals. And I like betting hockey because I don't think it gets as much action as some of these other sports. Like, everyone's talking about the NBA, but if you watch these hockey games, there's bigger edges in the hockey games than there are in NBA right now. So I love betting hockey, Gil.
What's interesting, have you ever done, and this is just me to you question, have you ever considered that horse racing and hockey, some might say, feel more random than some of the other sports do? Maybe you don't agree with that.
I would say I would understand why people say that. Horse racing definitely feels the most random, right? But you're also getting 3-1, 4-1 on the horses that, right, you are betting. So essentially that's like a three-team parlay, right, that you're playing inside of a two-minute race. So the randomness you have to expect in that sport. Hockey definitely has some more randomness in it. You're going to have games like the Panthers last game where they clearly should have won game three and they lost. And you're going to have games where, like game one, I think, again, Dallas was the better team and they lost. That happens with hockey because you have such low scores and you get one bounce that can really change the game. I like the randomness, Gil, because I think it allows you to play certain scenarios out, and you're going to get situations where it's hard to say, well, because of that randomness, one team should be minus 400. You rarely see that in hockey. And so I think it gives you an edge when you are betting because you have more randomness in the sport.
That is why I asked the question, because I knew you would have a heady answer. You embrace the randomness, and the market prices make it worth your while. Mike, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And we'll talk Belmont Stakes next week.
Sounds great. Happy Memorial Day, everybody. Have a good one.
Mike Somich, everybody, co-host of The Handle, Weekends with Matt Brown, here noon Eastern, Saturday and Sunday at VSiN. If you're on the radio side, Gojo and Golic are next. Pictures, best bets at VSiN, the sports betting network. Enjoy.